Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Greetings, listener dear. I'm Tom.
I'm Ben.
And I am Matthew, and welcome to an exciting episode of Beef Brothers Cold Cuts.
It is an exciting episode, actually.
It is an exciting episode today. I mean, you know, I find them all exciting. Before we get started, I wanted to do a bit of a shout out to people. If you do enjoy a Beef Brothers Cold Cuts and you'd like to be part of the show, then please. Send us some Beef Brothers. Send us your beefs with your flatmates. It's beefbrothers.podcast@gmail.com. We're running a little dry at the moment, so we'd love to have more beefs to carry on doing the show with. So get in touch.
Absolutely, get in touch. Yes, please. Today's guest was the brilliant Freya Parker, one half of Lazy Susan. Our favourite sketch team, I think.
I'd say so.
They've performed with us a bunch of times. Crosby, you've helped them get their shows together in Edinburgh. They're about to make a sketch series on the BBC, or they're making it as
we
speak.
They've got a brilliant little pilot, which I think is still on iPlayer.
It's so good. I've seen it twice. It's so good.
And of course, she's also on the MASH report, so you might know her from that. But she's absolutely brilliant. She's absolutely great. As you'll find out as we get into this episode. So don't forget beefbrotherspodcast@gmail.com if you want to get in touch. But until then, enjoy the episode.
Well, if you've got a problem, don't call it a problem. If you've got a problem, call it a beef. If you've got a beef, maybe we can help you. Beef Brothers sorting out your beef.
Well, Freya, thank you so much for coming on the show.
Oh, my pleasure.
Yeah, good morning. Are you a morning person?
I always think that I am, but other people have sort of laughed when I've said that. So, I guess they're all wrong.
Yes,
I am. Thank you.
Okay, we won't disagree with you on that.
So you're a morning person, but everybody else around you isn't actually a morning person.
Yeah, I think it's really sad. It's really sort of sad for them, I think.
And you like to let them know, do you?
Yeah, yes. In the strongest terms possible, actually.
Are we morning people?
I mean, we're up this morning. I don't think you can paint with such broad strokes when you're talking about, you know, how a person's mood is going to be at the start of any given day.
Mm. Oh, man, I'm going to have to change my Twitter profile.
Do you want to pause it?
I have to find myself by this for years now. Oh, no.
Of being a morning person.
And a night owl. Can I shock you? I'm a bit of both.
Wow.
the great thing about Parry is I've been out with him on nights out, and halfway through, you know, he starts turning into a morning person. It's amazing. You think this is
incredible.
I'm hanging out with a real night owl here. You know, maybe we move on to a sort of late opening bar and I can see the morning person appearing. It emerges.
And the confusing thing is we're normally having afternoon brunch when that happens.
It's true, yeah.
Fascinating.
You become a morning person around 4 p.m. It's mad. But a wonderful mess of contradictions, and that's why we love you. Maybe not a morning person, but what kind of a flatmate are you?
Well, again, I think I'm absolutely great. I think I'm attentive to the little details about communal living, you know.
Okay, talk us through a few of the details you've been attentive to recently.
Yeah.
Go on, let's talk us through the details you've been attentive to recently.
Well, stuff like if I wash up, I'll do the cutlery.
Sure.
I won't just leave it because I don't like it. I'll do it. And some people.
Oh, I see. Okay.
Some people think that that's job done. The bigger stuff, your plates, your glasses, your pans, and they think, what? I don't know if they think the cutlery is just a bit of fun at the end that they haven't earned or something. But I get the job done. I clean like I want my deposit back. That's how I live.
That's a That's a good motto for life.
It's a hell of a motto, but you won't be getting it back, just so you know.
And sadly, your deposit was all of your cutlery.
That is... did not see that coming, actually.
Do you think that would be a more effective deposit than hard cash?
Your cutlery. Staff.
Your cutlery.
It's a sort of like, it's like a sort of low-scale bailiffs, basically.
Yeah. If your landlord said, if you don't look after the flat, when you move out, you have to leave all your kitchen stuff, I reckon people would really look after their flat.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think that's true, actually.
Because the deposit, the thing is, the way we look at money, a lot of people look at money, is once you've chucked them whatever the deposit is, 300 quid, it sort of feels like you've spent it, doesn't it? It feels like the money's...
Yeah.
But if you can physically see it, that's a great idea. If you can, but then here's the thing. Here's the question. Say you break a plate. Do you then have to report that to your landlord and say, listen, I need to go and buy a plate to replace the plate so that I'm still up on my deposit?
It's a big question, Matthew.
And you know what? Maybe not one we're going to answer today. But
I feel like I've caused more problems than solutions here.
I throw it out into the universe to see.
I'm not a politician. I'm not going to, you know.
Sorry to give you such a thorny issue. Sorry, Clarkie.
I will say this, actually, because initially I was like, well, I think you just buy cheap stuff.
Mm.
But one thing that I think you can't really... One thing I'm always amazed at is how expensive mugs are.
Well, and also how...
Try and buy yourself a nice mug. They're mad expensive.
What kind of... I don't think I've bought a mug.
Have you never tried one of Clarkie's Fabergé mugs? Oh. The coffee tastes so good.
What are you spending on a mug, Clarkie?
I don't buy them often because I'm always like, oh, that's a nice mug. I might get that. And then I'm like, 20 quid? Are you mad?
20 quid on a mug?
Surely they come from Easter eggs, don't they?
But also, when you go around to Clarkie's house, all the mugs that he has are the mugs we made as a series gift when we finished filming Badults 2. You have more Badults mugs in your house. So is that why? Did you take them all home? Because you were like, bloody hell, I'm going to take them. I'm rich here.
Or did Matthew sell them to you in a sort of awful twist of fate?
He sold them to me at 50 quid a mug.
Matthew did very well.
That's how expensive they are, mate.
They're very rare memorabilia that you can only find them in charity shops in West London. That's all. It's the only place you can find them.
Here's what I think we're missing out on in this, because I thought what Clarkie was going to say, and this is kind of what I was getting at, is
Clarkie, if only you'd said what Parry thought you were going to say. Come on, mate.
I'd have been much more happy with you.
I'm not a morning person.
I'm talking about emotional value, because I think if you're saying to a tenant, if like Freya, if I said to you, "What's your favourite mug?"
Mm.
Do you know immediately what your favourite mug is?
I've got a few, but yeah, I could easily identify something I'd be sad to lose.
And if at the end of the stay I said, "Look, you've stained this carpet, I'm taking your three favourite mugs," you would be a bit gutted.
Yeah,
I'd be incensed. Yeah, and sad.
I think it's the emotional value of mugs that more so than 20 quid for a mug.
Which makes me think, you know, when, if you say you go around to like a boomer's house, for example, and they've got nice mugs that are all the same. I would love to know what that day looked like when they went, do you know what? Thanks, mugs. And smash, goodbye. I'm ready to destroy all of these memories now. Or give them away, but I don't care for them anymore and I'm going to get all of these uniform mugs. It's obviously quite a big moment in our lives that we've got coming up.
I think it's a good point, actually.
Mug day,
when you actually finally get rid of the... And I think they do have an emotional connection, because...
When you finally get rid of your personality.
Yeah! You sort of go... You sort of, like, part of your brain goes, well, I'm not a student anymore. I shouldn't be living like a student. But then you go, but actually, students have got bags of personality.
Yeah.
Students are all emotion, aren't they?
Is a theory. Is it because, right, the older you get, the sloppier your friends get physically. So right.
Well, that's, you know what I mean? That's certainly true of the three of us. I'll say
that
can't
hold on to them anymore. My hands just can't grip a mug anymore. I'm 45.
it, it, in my head, it's more like, oh God, if Clarkie comes round for a brew and I watch him drooling into my Samuel L. Jackson mug, it's going to ruin it for me.
What's wrong with Clarkie?
I'm not a morning person.
So, you know, whereas you go like, if all of my mugs look the same, then he won't ruin a specific mug by being grubby around it.
Freya, you know the expression loose lips sink ships?
Yes.
That's what Clarkie's got. Incredibly loose lips. They just can't. There's a constant waterfall. It's like going to the Dun River Falls in Jamaica. It's amazing.
It's why he's spending 20 quid on a mug. It's because they've all got lids on with a little spout so he can drink his tea without spilling it. Yeah.
But I think it is true, actually. The emotional connection comes from the fact that you know, What things in the house do you kiss? You kiss your partner,
yep.
You kiss your kids, you kiss your mugs.
You kiss your mugs.
These are the things you stick your lips on.
Yeah.
Anything
else you kiss? I kiss Cosmo, and I realise that she also licks her own arsehole, so maybe I should stop doing that, but that's that's my cross to bear. Just don't use arsehole. My mugs, basically.
Oh, yeah. No, sorry, yeah, that's what I was going to say.
You can have a coffee, but let me just tell you, I've just got off with Cosmo, so...
Well, why are you dribbling so much?
Is what else in your flat do you kiss your new opening question, Crosby?
It's a format I'm trying to... Yeah,
we've got Freya with us. What do you kiss that's in your flat?
Is there other stuff in your flat you kiss? I mean...
Your toothbrush, but you more pop that all the way in.
Put it in your mouth. I think you put
your French toothbrush.
My wife kisses our plants.
Does she?
Oh.
I sort of fondle at my plants.
Yeah, there you go. Do you chat to them?
A little bit. I do, not sort of, not massively, but I do a little bit. This guy, my cheese plant, has actually been through quite a lot over lockdown. So I'm often like, you're doing great. I'm so proud of you.
Is it like the plant in E.T. where how bad you're feeling is directly in correlation to how bad the plant is looking?
Very much so. Yeah. I had to repot myself early on in this year. Yeah, but I'm thriving now. Yeah,
you look amazing. You've been deadheaded. You look fantastic.
Yeah.
Back for the season. Right, should we crack on and get into some of the beefs that our listeners have sent us?
Yeah, let's do it.
Clarkie, I believe you've got one. You've got one to read us.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Old soggy gob himself.
Old dribble bib.
If you can stop dribbling for 5 minutes and read out this bloody
beef. Stop dribbling all over your keyboard. It's in your emails, mate.
I apologise. Yeah, I've got it. So.
Come on, Sloppy beef. Joe.
Jesus, man.
Sorry, has someone left the tap on? It sounds like running water. It's like a constant running water.
The shower's just running here.
Close your gob.
Right.
Close your gob.
Close your gob for gob's sake. We have a beef from Steph and Ben via beefbrotherspodcast@gmail.com. Get in touch.
They did, and now they're famous. Well, they're on the podcast.
They're on the pod.
That's famous, right, guys?
Pretty much, yeah.
Dear Beef Brothers, last week, the people in the house behind ours, probably bored in lockdown, decided to paint our garden fence.
Ooh.
And accidentally painted our cat.
Whoa!
What? So this is a two-prong problem, right?
Brush.
This brush has got two hairs on it.
Okay.
I mean, madness. We've been trying to get the paint off the cat since.
Oh, no.
Should I say something to them? Or just accept that this is the new normal? The cat doesn't give a shit, really. Cheers, everyone. Bye.
Wow.
Okay.
Steph and Ben.
I've got a couple of questions. What colour's the paint? What colour's the cat?
Yeah.
That's crucial, really, isn't it?
Okay.
Is it a red cat? Is it red paint?
Have they gone for
cat?
You know, like a ginger
sorry,
tom.
Sorry, is it a squirrel? Sorry, is it a squirrel? Sorry.
Or have they gone for a mural that now only works when the cat is stood directly in front of the mural?
Oh, because that's actually quite nice.
Yeah, if it's maybe, you know, like two hands shaking and a dove of peace and then
a pair of lips kissing.
A pair of lips kissing a mug. Yeah, if that sort of
is your neighbour Banksy?
Or Neil Buchanan, let's face it.
Well, yes, or...
What's the difference?
Hey-o.
Yeah, I mean, that's a key question, isn't it? Because if it fits in, but then, you know,
do you know
what?
How you can get paint off your cat? Do you want me to solve it for you?
White spirit. Yeah, go on.
Nail polish remover.
Yeah, or shave it.
Yes, I was, oh, I was
hang
thinking,
on, that's much more fun.
I was thinking shave it, yeah.
Shave yeah. it, then paint its nails, then take the paint off with nail polish.
Yeah.
Shave it, paint its nails, send it round to your neighbours to freak them out.
You've created a monster.
Yeah, smash yeah. your neighbours' windows in, lob the cat in, yeah. and then move
also,
house.
Also, it's a scorched earth policy, Freya, and I love it. I think it says exactly how you're going to go for it.
I hope you're going to be bringing this approach to every beef.
There's no beef that can't be solved by smashing a window, throwing a cat through, and moving house.
Moving house, yeah. Just get out.
God, that was our shortest episode yet. But it's very, very
thanks.
Successful.
Thanks, guys. Catch you later.
I was thinking what you could do is you could get a small speaker in a cat's collar, yeah. send the cat round, right? yeah. And you're sort of hiding behind the recently painted fence with a microphone doing the it's giving a message to the, you know, saying
do the cat's voice, please.
Okay, so you're going to say like, so that they're going to go, oh look, this is little cat has wandered into our house, and then the cat looks up and goes, you.
That broke a window.
Yeah. As I say, wandered in. It's attached to a brick. but then the cat looks up at them and goes, "You made me."
That's nice.
Yeah. Do you think?
I thought there was going to be an end to that sentence.
That is sad. The end. Me.
You made me sad.
No, you made me learn how to talk. Yeah. I thought it was
That would have made more sense.
You made me learn how to do this, and then it goes on again, scorched earth, it goes on to do something. Yeah. Absolutely. Just an abomination then occurs. Insert your own abomination.
What if it was you made me feel so young, and then it burst into song?
You made me feel so young.
Ah, da, 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 and then smashes a window.
A tap dancing cat that can fuck up your flat.
Yeah.
Well, it sounds like a great Dr. Seuss book, doesn't it?
Is this magic paint? Well, I think one of the crucial questions is how much paint. Secondly, it is entirely conceivable that the cat painted itself, not the neighbour painted the cat.
Well, we all know cats, don't we?
I think we've got to start looking at that as a possibility.
It's
because
the elephant in the room. Yeah.
If the neighbour painted the cat, you would know about it, right?
Yeah.
Whereas I think there's every chance that the cat painted itself, and therefore the beef psychologically can shift in your brain. You're dealing with the cat now, not the neighbour.
Also, actually, thinking about it, because yes, they painted your fence, but their side of it, right?
Yeah, that's what I wasn't sure, because if they've literally somehow gained entry into your back garden and then painted your fence, that's absolutely bizarre behaviour. And it makes the painting of the cat seem like a targeted attack almost.
I'm going to say that you're... I'm going to say as well, and I know we shouldn't really victim blame in this way, but I'm going to say that you're slightly to blame if you're able to let your neighbours into your garden long enough to paint a fence. Especially if this happened during lockdown, then...
Yeah, you were home. You know,
you were home.
What were you doing?
This is nuts.
You probably boarded up all your windows.
Yeah.
So if it is their side of the fence... It doesn't back into their garden, does it? And if so, how do you know they've painted it? Presumably, it might have come sort of little alley or something.
It might have come through the slats. You know, it might have just come through the slats.
But that means the slats. Well, like out the lift in The Shining.
Exactly. Sort of just, yeah. Yeah. Exactly. Yeah.
Oozing yeah. through, and then eventually a torrent all over your garden.
Yeah. And then all over your cat. I guess it's was the cat sort of stood up vertically. Like a sort of like a human being, if you will. So is it down the back? Is it all the way down the back of the cat? Was it stood horizontally? Is it down the side?
Was the cat stood on its hind legs, pretending to be you, letting your neighbours into the garden to paint the fence?
This is the question.
Was it dressed as you, basically? Have you noticed some of your clothes going missing and then showing up in the cat's basket?
Yeah.
Right. Well, I think the beef closed, sort your cat out. your cat's wreaking havoc.
Speak to your cat, and I think that probably goes for just anybody with a cat. You've got to speak to your cat
You got to speak to your cat. Yeah. It's had a tough lockdown. Yeah, speak to the cat. Maybe repot it.
Repot your cat. Yeah.
I'm going to repot my cat, yeah. And I'm going to try my level best to not kiss it when I'm drunk.
Beef closed.
Yeah.
Beef closed and hopefully arsehole closed.
Get a zip on it. Job done.
Beef from the sorting, now your beef solved.
Oh my God, this comes in from Trevor and it's hot off the press, guys. Oh,
can I say Trevor? Can I say Trevor is an assumed name? He's given a fake name. That's why I've put his full name at the end of the message.
Lovely to have chosen Trevor.
It's a great fake name. Very, very strong.
Via beefbrotherspodcast@gmail.com. Mm-hmm. Get in touch.
Please do.
You don't get many Trevors nowadays. Trevor's a nice name, isn't it?
The same thing. I don't think I know a Trevor.
Trevor might just slip onto the list, actually. Feels like a very friendly name, doesn't it?
Yeah. That's right. Yeah. You're still
Trev.
You don't have a baby yet. Still thinking.
Oh yeah.
Names.
How much longer before it arrives?
We're into minus days now. T minus 4 days.
So it's cooked. It's ready.
It's cooked and ready, baby.
Yeah.
It just isn't coming out yet.
Sure.
We keep playing it, the you know that public service broadcasting song, Go?
Yeah, it's all up a bit.
We play that every morning and every evening directly to the baby because we can imagine we've got this image of it being in like a little cockpit upside down waiting to press the button.
Yeah, yeah.
So good.
Like the head's engaged. So we've heard that the head's engaged, so it's like, head's engaged. So we keep playing it, this Go, blast off, Go, baby, Go, come on, Go.
So good.
But it still hasn't worked yet. But that's what we're playing it every day.
I love it.
Little Trev.
Yeah, little Trev. Oh, who knows?
Trevi, yeah.
It's on the list.
Say Trevi as in like Trevi if it's a girl. Trevor if it's a boy. Trevi if it's a girl, yeah.
Yeah. I think that's the beauty of the name. Yeah.
So it's beautiful either way.
Pop a Y on any name to make it, to swap gender. Very Absolutely. Good. Right. Evening, I have a beef, though it is not specifically a flat share beef for one damning reason. I live alone.
Ah, Trev.
The house I live in... It's supposed to be a flat share, but due to the reputation of the area, no one else will move in, despite the deliciously low rent. Behind our terrace, there is an alley dividing it from the next row, splitting our gardens. Inverted commas, as nearly all of these are untended concrete spaces for fly tipping and occasional day drinking. In this back alley, a lot of sketchy shit happens, and I tend to ignore it, save for when it is very noisy, as it often is. The noise is normally the sound of some ruckus or other.
I like Trev.
Trev has a way with words.
Yeah.
Doesn't he?
Love Trev's tongue.
There is sketchy shit going on. There's a ruckus. Beautiful. This summer, many parties were had in the gardens and loud music was heard in the back alley many times, but all in all, I was not bothered as I was invited to some of these events. However, one night, there was a do and I was not invited.
Uh-oh.
I didn't care, but as I slept that night, long after the music had stopped at 3 a.m, there came the sound of a man singing opera tunes. I looked out the window to see a drunk fellow belting out his favourite standards in a rich tenor. And while I was annoyed, I tried not to wade into this sort of thing. By the way, Clark, you still owe me a rich tenor. The singing stopped relatively soon after and I fell back asleep. The next morning when I got up for work, the singing man was unconscious in my garden. The wooden fence that split it from the back alley beneath him. I chose to ignore this.
Wow. Can I just say, are we doing a very special episode that's all fence-based?
Yes.
It feels that way.
Is there... If the next one's about sword fighting, I'm going to go berserk.
Was this in your contract, Freya?
The fence stuff.
When I emailed Freya and said, would you like to be on the podcast? She literally said, I'm on the fence.
Yeah.
So
that's right.
I took that as, you know, these are the ones we're going
to
do.
I took offence to that.
Yeah, absolutely. I chose to ignore this, thinking he had just gotten drunk and fallen over. But later, on my return from work, I was informed by another neighbour that the police had come by and arrested a guy from the row opposite. as throwing the singer through my fence had violated his parole.
It is a sketchy area.
It is a sketchy area, yeah.
My beef is this. Whose responsibility is it to fix the fence? With the aggressor behind bars, there is no obvious choice. And the landlord says I need to repair it. Should I do a runner? Does that work if you have to come back home afterwards? Should I do a runner or do I just ignore my landlord because it's clearly not in his interest to kick me out? Tar, Trevor distance.
Twists and turns. I mean, yeah. That was a whole series arc there in one beef, I think.
This is a really interesting beef. I mean, imagine just the thing I'm really interested in. Imagine that guy who's back behind bars.
Mm.
People saying, what are you in for? And it's for throwing an opera singer through a fence. Mm. That's pretty impressive stuff,
yeah.
Isn't
it? I mean, yeah. I don't know where that fits in the police, in the prison hierarchy, you know, because he's going to get some prestige for that. He's going to get some mad props for that, isn't he?
Well, and he's also going to get a very quiet cellmate.
Yeah, very good point.
No, they're not going to stick him in with Whistling Bob, are they?
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean?
Definitely not. I think it depends if the Nazi who's running the jail is into opera. In which case, he might be very comfortable in his new...
Maybe he could organise a jailbreak by chucking someone through
the bars.
The fence.
He finds the thinnest prisoner and throws him through the bars.
It's a cat.
It's... Yeah. It's a cat that he's attached a little speaker to. So, I mean, I don't know, because presumably you break the fence, you pay for it.
Yeah.
But you don't want to be doing prison visits just to say to somebody, listen, you're going to have to... And it's expensive to replace a fence.
Mm.
So this is where my lockdown head is at.
Okay.
It's also going to be quite a lot of fun to fix a fence, I think. And I think we shouldn't overlook that. I think you're
Tom Sawyering us here.
Yes. Guys, I've signed us up to fix the fence. We have a lovely day out. Lashings of ginger beer. Was Tom Sawyer in the famous fire?
He was, yeah.
It's going to be a lot of fun to fix a fence. Say to the landlord, bung us 100 quid and I'll do it myself.
Is that you
saying that as Tom, or is that what Trevor's saying? Because at the minute, it sounds like you're pitching.
If I was Trevor, I'd say, bung us 100 quid, I'll fix your fence. Then I reckon you could fix that fence for about 15 quid.
Crosby, have you got previous with a fence here? Because it seemed like you were like, they're expensive. Like, have you had fence dealings before?
Yeah.
So I've got no idea. I've never...
When we first moved into the last flat we were in... the fence was broken and we said, look, a stipulation of us buying the place, you've got to fix the fence. And they fixed it. They did a £15 job on it, basically. Right. They did a £15 job on it. The next time it was really windy, the fence blew back into the garden. I had to go and get some proper guys to do it. And yeah, I won't say how much it cost, but I didn't go on holiday that year. I had
a
fence
instead.
Oh my God. It's pricey. It's pricey shit.
Wow,
yeah.
I had no idea. I didn't think fences would be that much.
I feel naive.
And that's coming from a man who spends 20 quid on a mug.
Oh, Bill Gates over here. He doesn't know.
If you're going to put a Bill Gate in it, it's more expensive.
It's pricey stuff. I guess it's like what... It feels like Trevor's endured quite a lot so far. He's living in Crime City.
He's living in an episode of Shameless, basically.
Exactly, yeah. But he's also got the slight sort of quiet confidence of a sort of what sounds like a kind of serial killer.
What bit of that are you... What bit of his message were you getting a serial killer vibes from our friend Trev?
It could have just been the way that Tom read it, to be fair.
I give off big serial killer vibes. Maybe that's what it was.
Okay. Discount that then. That's I misjudged that. No, Trevor. I think whatever you're into, just go for it. It's no kink shaming from me.
That's why you were very lenient. Hang on. The brief period you spent as a high court judge, you were incredibly lenient, weren't you? Because you saw crimes as kinks.
Yeah, it's all a bit fun, isn't it? Yeah.
What I'm sensing from Frey is that she's got two pieces of advice to give. One is the scorched earth policy. Set fire to your neighbor's house. Or two is, I'm opting out. I'm not going to kick shame.
Basically. Yeah. I mean, I guess it's like, do you even need a fence as well? If everything, it feels like a very fluid area. You know, you got your sketchy business here. You got your parties. What if we just like, I wonder if the landlords even considered the fact that maybe we don't need fences anymore. It's, you know, got to come together.
Let's tear down walls, not just build them up.
Let's tear down these walls and maybe just transcend these borders, you know? Maybe it's worth taking that angle.
That's all well and good in a kind of sort of hippy-dippy kind of way, but...
Not when you live on Skid Row.
Yeah, the fence is protecting our Trev from the day drinkers and sketchy fuckers. Basically he's inviting them into, you know, he's
Did you see
the
sketchy fuckers at Edinburgh last year?
So good.
Really strong.
So good.
It's so good to see the next generation coming through. Yeah,
I did find it a little hit and miss, though, I must say.
Well, sketch by its Free nature stars. Is hit and miss, isn't it?
Oh, well, of course.
Sketch by its nature is hit and miss, unlike all other forms of comedy. So, still got that axe to grind 10 years after the fact. Anyway, but the thing is, you invite them into your garden. You're inviting them towards your back door. You're inviting them towards your back door.
Yeah.
You're inviting them into your house. Next thing you know, you have got flatmates, but they're flatmates who aren't paying any rent, who aren't respecting the property, who are probably singing opera all the way through the night and throwing each other out of windows.
Here's a bigger question. Look at the main players in this drama. Mm. I think we should try and nip this in the bud now, but there's three people who I think. There is Trev.
Yes.
There is the opera singer.
Pavarotti.
And there's the guy who shook the opera singer through the fence.
Yeah.
There are three options of who's going to pay for this fence. Right?
Right.
Yeah.
I think the big question here is, are you thinking the fourth is the landlord?
I mean, the landlord's got to pay for it, right? That's what you do when you own a house. If something gets broken, the landlord has to pay for it.
Mm.
I mean, beef solved. it's less fun, but it's beef solved.
The landlord's going to pay for it, but unfortunately, poor old Trev's not going to get any of his crockery back.
That's fair.
He's lost all of his cutlery. And he, you know what? He needs those knives more than anyone else to protect his fortress. No, go on. Sorry, Perry. What were you saying? There's three people. There's the opera singer.
No. We've solved it.
No. That's not how it works. If one of us gives an idea, it doesn't mean the other two don't. Go on, Perry. Finish your thought.
If you track down Opera Man,
can you
persuade a man to repair a fence that he broke by being thrown through it? Because ultimately, if he's not singing opera at 3 a.m, he's not getting chucked through that fence.
And if he went through it hands first, he pushed it over.
His fingerprints like, were all over like, it, yeah. His fingerprints, his face prints all over it, the whole thing.
there's one person who caused this incident to happen, and it's Opera Man. And I think wandering around Skid Row at 3 a.m. in the morning, you're going to find Opera Man again. I think this ain't his first rodeo.
Yeah,
this isn't the first night he's burst into song.
Yeah. He's the only guy on Skid Row wearing a cummerbund.
Yeah, exactly. So you find old Mr. Go Compare, and I think then you're asked. then I think you've got the person who should really fix your fence. Because look, if he's not bailing out opera tunes at 3 a.m. in someone's back alley, you know.
It's like, what else is this guy going to do if he's not sort of stopped? If he doesn't sort of know that there is a consequence to opera?
Yes, exactly. Absolutely. I think you have to be, it's like the Neighbourhood Watch, you know, you're looking for people sort of nicking people's Amazon packages, but more than anything, you're looking for people singing a little bit of La Traviata at 4 a.m. And basically they're the real menace.
Yeah.
You know, I actually think the bloke who's in prison, it should be, flip it around. The bloke who's in prison, I think, Freya, you were bang on first time. He's done nothing wrong.
Yeah.
Sure, he's thrown someone through a fence, but he had to stop the opera so that the entire street could sleep.
Yeah, he had to do it.
We're living in a society here.
So I guess it's like he's got to just go to the prison, capture the opera guy, go to the prison and just be like, look, this is a straight swap.
Yes.
Scenario. Just, I'm delivering. I've done you a favour here. Go forth.
Classic prison swap.
Yeah.
Go forth.
Yeah. Classic prison swap. Go forth. Beef solved.
Yeah. Best of luck to you, Trev. Beef from the sorting out your beef. Beef solved.
Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
All right, this one is from Lydia via beefbrotherspodcast@gmail.com. Please do get in touch. Lydia writes, hello, my name is Lydia. Of course it is. My name is Lydia and I'm currently living with my sister Rachel and her husband Ben and also their 8-month-old baby. I've been here since the start of lockdown. It's mostly been great, except my room is above one of the two living spaces in the house. And every time my brother-in-law gets up in the morning with the baby, he has song and dance time. This is at around 7 a.m. It comes straight through the floor of my room, and his choice of tunes was mainly ABBA. Now I've mainly managed this by hinting and not directly confronting the issue, and putting in headphones and a podcast or two when it kicks off. It's their house, and I'm a guest after all. But at the weekend, he started making new additions to the playlist, which I found out at full volume this morning included Electric Six Gay Bar, and I think the limit has been reached. Should I keep quiet and let them party, or should he be a better host? Cheers, everyone. Bye, Lydia. Good host or good dad? You can't have both, according to Lydia.
Yeah. So, wow.
What do we think? Where do we stand?
The first thing that jumped out to me was that there's two living spaces. So what's going on in the other one at 7 a.m.?
It's a very good point.
That he can't just pop in there.
Yeah. If they're in a house that's big enough, it's nice enough weather, I think, you can have your 7 a.m. jaunt in the garden.
Mm.
Although actually, then you run the risk of waking up the neighbours and getting thrown through a fence.
Where's the fence bit in this? I missed that.
It's a very good point. It's a fenceless beef. It's quite weird to read it now.
Bye, guys. I did make that very clear in my contract.
How about we just imagine the floor of her bedroom is a fence?
Okay.
I guess in many ways, like a wooden floor is basically just like a sort of horizontal fence.
Yeah.
We can agree on that, right? Philosophy. We can agree on that, sure.
Yeah.
Parry, what are you thinking?
I'm thinking, can you silent disco a baby?
I was thinking like silent disco
too. Yes.
I don't know if that's possible or not.
See pictures of, people at festivals with the little baby headphones on their kids.
But they are noise cancelling headphones as opposed to playing slightly louder music.
Really silent disco.
Okay. I'm hearing you there. Yeah.
They're not.
It's the opposite. Okay.
Yeah. What we're suggesting now is very much the opposite. Yes, Freya. It's but I guess if the volume was, headphones for a baby, you know what it would want to be. You know those headphones that you used to get on like the original Walkman. That were like just little flat foam covered discs that didn't really ever sort of lay, you couldn't really get them to lay flush against your ears. They didn't go inside your ears. I feel like they would probably be safe enough for a little baby. Could you do that? And then you're both enjoying the music.
Is there anything sort of behind? I know I'm always sort of jumping to the conspiracy theories, but it's. Is the dad trying to send a message in some way?
Oh, he's subtly just saying, I'm just saying. Tell her that she is a dancing queen.
Yeah.
7 a.m.
Mm.
That's fair game, isn't it? I think 7 is fine to be doing dancing. I think if it was 5, you might have a kind of case there. But I think 7 a.m. onwards, in your own house.
Yeah.
I think it's kind of okay.
Mm.
I mean, maybe I'm just used to getting up early now, but
Who wants dance time at that time, though? Does baby even know? How old's baby?
8 month old. At time of email.
So is baby like, you know,
8 month old baby would want dance time, would enjoy dance time, yeah.
Oh no, I know, but do they want it at 7 a.m? Like, if dance time becomes 11:30, is baby gonna care? Is baby gonna be like, where's my tunes? 7 a.m. Like, well no, in the morning at 7 we have tummy time, which is actually a bit quieter than dance time. Yeah. Dance time is 11 o'clock. Oh baby. Everyone likes, you know, like, that's what I'm saying, is like,
do you think the dads get, but then also maybe the dad only gets to spend, maybe the dad's going off to work and only gets, you know, half an hour with the baby, and the most
doesn't want to talk to it.
Well, you can talk and dance at the same time. That's the, you know, that's
not if the music's at that volume.
You make a good point. Maybe everything he wants to say to the baby is in the lyrics of that Electric Six song. Maybe he just wants to take that baby to a
I've got something to put in you. It's this rusk.
Yeah.
That's a good. It is a good song to play while you're feeding baby, actually, isn't it?
Yeah.
Like, oh, I've got something to put in you. It's a little bit of mashed potato.
So this is actually quite a heartwarming story, that maybe it's all about a mental shift in terms of, like, maybe she should start to think, maybe Lydia might try gratitude in the morning. Like, I'm so privileged to hear this amazing moment between father and baby.
I think maybe. Nice. And I think the happy compromise is that the dad and the baby start letting her make requests.
Yes.
And then, yeah. And then she gets a couple of songs every dance time, and therefore then she gets to feel a bit of a part of it, and it takes the edge off, you know, hearing other people's tunes at that time in the morning.
Mm.
So, you know, she might mellow the mood a little bit. That's the problem. If she's on morning songs, you know, she might bring in a bit of Velvet Underground and mellow their buzz a little bit.
Mm.
But I'd concede one or two songs to her so that she can feel like she's a part of it.
Yeah, it's almost like choosing her alarm clock in a way. Yeah,
exactly right.
Yeah, I mean, the right song, you don't mind waking up to a good song, do you?
I also think maybe if you can't beat them, get down there and join them.
Ooh, yeah.
Get down and get involved in, you know. I think you'd be surprised how quickly you can wake up and feel good if you spend 10 minutes dancing around with 8-month-old baby.
Mm.
I think it's you know, it's better than a cup of coffee for making you feel, you know, excited about the day.
A cup of coffee with a baby?
Yeah, have a cup of coffee with a baby. I don't want Cleo to grow much taller than she is at the moment. She's already almost taller than me, so let's not, you know. let's keep you manageable, all right? But yeah, I think you're absolutely right, Freya. It's a reframing.
Yeah.
You've got to reframe this as something good.
Because it's almost like Joe Wicks is, you know, he's having a little break now, and this is just like having Joe Wicks in your house every morning. Come on down, have a dance, set yourself up for the day.
Absolutely, yeah.
Joe Wicks is gearing up for his second shift that's about to kick in.
He's limbering.
He's having a break for good reason. He knows he's about to be busy again.
So basically, get the landlord to pay for it. Beef sold.
Smash a cat through the window.
Burn the house down. Yeah. Leave the country. Change the name to Trevor.
Yep.
Beef from the sorting out your beef. Beef solved. Freya, did you have a beef that you wanted us to have a look at?
Yeah. Well, I've got a couple, but appreciate we might only have time for one. it's another washing up related.
I was going to say, we've already touched on the cutlery.
Yeah.
Okay.
And this is that sometimes/every time, the, you know, you come into your kitchen in the morning, fill up the kettle. Oh, there's still water in the sink. The cutlery's in there, but what else is in there? A wooden spoon.
Oh, dear.
And I'm like, why would you leave a wooden spoon in dirty dishwater when it's porous? And that spoon is just like... That spoon is drinking it in.
Yeah.
So I guess my
beat's gonna crack right down the middle, isn't
it? Yeah, so I guess I'm just
got a massive wooden spoon now.
I've got it's more like a paddle now. It's inexplicably huge. Yeah, I guess that's my beef. It's sort of why would you do that, and why would you not think that's just gonna drink in all that dirty water? Or I better take it out. Even if the knives and forks, they're all metal. That logic is sound. It's not right, but it's sound.
Can I ask
but the wooden spoon, yeah.
Can I ask you a question? Are you a wash basin or are you a fill the sink up kind of person?
I'm actually a fill the sink up kind of guy.
Yeah, me too. But my wife would like to get a wash basin. And for some reason, I don't, and I can't explain why, I don't take to them.
It feels
what, so,
yeah.
What, a bowl in a sink?
A washing up bowl, yeah.
It's a hat on a hat, isn't it?
It is a hat on a hat, yeah.
What are you gaining?
You're gaining a big plastic box that you then have to put somewhere during the rest of the day. You know, where does it go the rest of the day? It ends up wet. You've got it. You put it on top of the draining, all the drying dishes. It doesn't make sense to me.
Mm. Yeah, there's no. I mean, if you've got a sink, if you trust your sink,
clean your sink. Trust your sink.
You've got to back your sink.
Yeah.
Okay. I'd like to step in and
please, because this is tearing me apart.
The bowl.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
Oh, yes. Because, yeah. No, I'd love to hear the counter argument.
Because apparently it's a British thing. Americans don't do it. They get really confused by the washing up bowl. But if you've only got one sink, then if you're washing something that's particularly dirty,
yeah,
you don't. That's all going to go in the bowl, and it's instantly going to make all the water terrible, whereas you can rinse it off down the side of the washing up bowl and preserve the water in the bowl so it doesn't get that mucky.
Right. What I would say is
interessante.
If you've got one of those little rinsing sinks,
little side sinks,
then you don't need it.
I guess if it's like if I'm washing my paint covered cat in the sink, if it's going to make that much mess, I'm hosing it off outside.
Yeah,
I'm hosing it down. I'm not bringing that to the land.
You have to watch out because they are very porous cats.
yeah, they'll inflate. They'll inflate.
But then, do you not just say you wash all the stuff that's not dangerously soiled first? You do all your glasses and your cutlery first. Get that all out the way.
Well, classic anyway. Yeah.
Then you do your plates. Get out the way. Maybe after the plates, you might even go to a second sink of water.
Yeah.
True.
Drain, start again. Yeah. But your system, Clarkie, does make a lot of sense. I'm coming around to the idea. I mean, it's cumbersome though. Where do you put the...
And also it encroaches on your washing space.
Yeah, I've just moved into a new house. It's got a much bigger sink and I love it. It's like a bathtub.
Okay.
Now,
using your bathtub?
It's next to the toilet. Is that a... Now I think about it. And it's next to the toilet. It's upstairs. Yeah, no, it's a bathtub.
Okay.
I've just moved house. I've got a bathtub, guys.
Okay, well, let's vote then. Plastic bowl or sink? I guess it's a straight shootout, isn't it?
Yeah.
I'm going to go sink.
It's got to be sink for me, yeah.
It's got to be sink.
I'm going bowl.
He's going bowl, yeah. No one's been convinced at all there. This is arguments in the modern world, isn't it?
Yeah.
We all go, oh, I want to know the what's... I really would love to know the other side. I want to get a bit of balance. I'm not going to change my opinions.
Yeah.
I've heard a very, very cogent argument there from Clarkie, but still, fuck that. So
not enough.
So we're not here to talk about that beef. We're here to talk about the sink left overnight full of dingy water that you have to then, because also as well, you've got to put your hand in it just to let the water out.
Yeah, it's and that's a nightmare.
Start to the day.
That is a nightmare.
It's the opposite of dancing to Electric Six with a little
baby. Exactly. Yeah,
it
you
makes
know, you
your
get
morning shit immediately.
It does, because you've got up early, you've got up with the sun. You've done your yoga, you've done your morning pages, you've meditated, you're feeling good.
You've kicked the opera singer out of the garden.
You've given him a right good kicking as well. Yeah.
You've kicked the shit out of him, you've given him an invoice as well.
Yeah. you're going into the kitchen and you're like, oh, what, I've got to deal with this now. And then that's it, your whole day is scuppered. It's just ruined.
Yeah, Yeah, I feel it. I feel it. What's the solution? I mean, are you usually first to bed, or do you have a sort of shared bedtime?
Well, we're not that regimented, but it's probably about equal.
I think it needs to be part of the nighttime routine. It might be a bit passag, but in the same way that, like, you know, you've got to check that the back doors is locked up or whatever, you've got to check the windows are closed, you've got to check, all the electrical appliances aren't running. Maybe that needs to be part of it.
Check the sink hasn't been inexplicably left the sink. Full of water and wooden spoons.
I mean, I'm not saying you have to do it yourself. I'm saying you could be like, I'm just gonna check the back door. I'm just gonna check all the windows are closed. Do you mind checking the sink? Just, you know, easy breezy.
That level of passag.
Yeah.
Actually, yeah, I can see that working. Actually, did you check the sink? Like that.
I mean, the tone, you might want to work on it ever so slightly.
Very high.
Check this.
It's just a pitch.
Could you check the sink?
Check the sink.
Have you checked the sink?
Two different voices there. Good. One that sounds like a dog, one that can only be heard by dogs. Yes. So you've got to pick somewhere in between, I'd say.
There we go.
Check the sink.
Get a speaker.
That's actually more dog-like
than. Oh, God, check the sink.
Oh, actually, I like that.
So it's a bit playful. Sorry, Blackie.
And buy a puppet. That's good, buy a dog puppet and communicate it all through the puppet.
Yeah. Oh.
Hey. Oh, I know. Check the sink.
Here comes Watchdog.
Oh, yeah.
Have you checked the sink?
Check the sink. Check the fucking sink.
This is great, guys. This is great. This is
Wash
so workable.
Wash the fucking spoon. Wash the fucking spoon up, you fucking cretin.
Have you left? Yeah, nice. Oh. So it goes a bit dark.
Kiss your mug with that mouth?
Oh, I do think, you know what? I think Watchdog is a really, really good way of of solving minor household beefs.
Very playful.
Because also, we're not saying that, I'm assuming it's your partner that you've got the beef with. We're not saying that your partner can't also use Watchdog.
Oh, I don't know, are we? Are we saying that?
Tell you what, I'm sorry, I don't even know why I suggested that Watchdog is PD. It's not. It's just for you.
He can have his own watch animal.
Yeah.
Look, I'm just thinking it's Corona times. We don't really want to be sharing puppets. That's all I'm saying.
You've got to think of this. Will you come back and tell us how Watchdog gets on?
Yeah, I will. And thank you so much. I'm sort of looking forward to living again.
Can you bring Watchdog with you next time you come?
Yeah, definitely.
Watchdog, in fact, would you mind if we booked Watchdog?
Absolutely fine. Yeah, I'll pass on.
There's only so many fence beefs we can have to rebook you, so at least with Watchdog we get carte blanche.
Freya, thanks so much for coming on the show. Anything you want us to plug for when this episode goes out?
No.
Okay.
No, not really. Couple of bits, it's all cancelled. Next year, just look out for me. I'm coming.
If you do want to hire Freya, she's very good.
Did you write on Spitting Image? Everyone, I really wanted to put a tweet that was like, "Hey guys, really pleased to announce I didn't write on the new Spitting Image show." I started to feel like I was the only one in the comedy world who didn't work on the new Spitting Image show.
I've written for Spitting Image, but they're not picking up the phone. So technically yes.
That is actually exactly what happened to me as well. I did submit a sketch. Never got a reply.
Absolutely brutal. Oh, actually, I am doing a real life gig, I've just remembered. With a company called Country Mile. So Google Country Mile Productions, and there's loads of, they're doing some live gigs finally.
Oh, amazing. Oh,
lovely.
Finally.
We're always wondering, when are Country Mile going to pull their bloody finger out and it's a live gig?
And is it... Are they called that because you have to be a country mile from the audience, just for some?
I believe so. Yeah.
They really take it to the extreme, don't they?
Really?
You are a mile between each act.
Yeah, it's a megaphone, not a microphone. That's the vibe.
You get a megaphone, they get a telescope. It works.
Yes.
It just works.
It feels good. It feels really good. Yeah, it's good to be back.
Right, Freya, thank you so much for coming on the show. It's been so fun having you.
Nice to see you.
Thanks for having me. Yeah, my God, nice to see some other human beings, you know?
Okay, we're going to go now, Freya. Thanks. From the sorting out your beans. There you go. What a treat. Now, look, if you enjoyed that episode and you're after a bit more content, then why don't you hop over to the Patreon and join our Patreon community?
Absolutely. Yes. If you pledge $5 a month or above, then you get a bonus episode. I mean, you get three bonus episodes a week. It's pretty exciting.
And also you get the complete backlog of all the bonus episodes we've done up until now, which is vast.
Yes, there's a huge back catalogue, over 100 episodes of extra bonus content that you get immediately. The first $5 you spend on us, you get it straight away.
That's almost too many hours.
It's too many hours. Yeah.
It's, you don't almost have to listen to it all.
It's almost many hours.
We don't know what the future holds. As we're recording this, who knows if you're going to have a lot more time on your hands. Fingers crossed you don't, but nevertheless. So patreon.com/pappysflatshare. Get on over to that. beefbrotherspodcast@gmail.com if you want to get in touch and send us your beefs. And also, obviously, leave us a review on iTunes.
That you must have some, especially. Absolutely right. Today's episode was produced by Caution Team. Cheers, everyone.
Bye. All right, everybody.
Here's the best thing about the Patreon Neighborhood Watch roll call, y'all. The more upstanding you get, those Patreons, they just stay the same age, baby.
Let me tell you, these patrons do stay the same age because we're still doing patrons who joined us in March.
They're March years old.
Talk about a backlog. That's one thing I love about a backlog.
Let me tell you, keep recording
these things. They don't seem to fucking move at all. Let
me tell you about this Patreon, I was hanging out the back of my car the other day. And I drove past this Patreon, and he shot me a look. And let me tell you, that look was wanton. I said, "What's your name?" And he wouldn't tell me, but I guessed it. It was Gary Panton. Gary, why won't you tell him your name?
But a really strong guess there.
Why won't you tell me your name, Gary?
All right. Well, let me tell you, the other day, I saw this dude. He was hanging out the back of a sedan.
All right.
And he shot me. I thought he was going to shoot me a look, and at the last minute, he pulled out a gun. He shot me.
Yeah.
Straight in the eye. Oh, yeah. He shot me straight in the eye.
I just laughed, baby.
I just laughed and said, "Ah, well," because his name was Declan Crawwell.
All right. And he wouldn't tell you his name.
He wouldn't tell me his name, but I guessed it. It was possibly Crawwell, but I could spell it, but I couldn't say it. It's an approximation. All right.
Listen, man, I was walking down the road the other day. I was hanging onto the back of a car.
That's a hell of a way to walk.
Yeah, well, unfortunately, I forgot my skateboard, so
I was wondering why you were 3 foot shorter.
I was being dragged along by a car. This guy, he was walking past. He was like, "Hey, man.
Hey, man.
You need a hand?" I was like, "Don't worry, man. In spite of how I look, I'm feeling fine."
Oh, no.
He's feeling fine.
I'm feeling fine. Okay. He wouldn't tell me his name.
But I imagine it was James O'Brien.
It was James O'Brien. Oh, yeah.
Oh, I was going along the road the other day. I was hanging off the back of a skateboard, yo. And that skateboard was hanging off the back of a car. I was human centipeding myself down the lane. And I saw this Patreon.
You human centipeded yourself.
I was tying myself in knots.
You hooped yourself.
And this Patreon walked past.
There it is.
Hey, is that what the movie Hoop Dreams is about?
Oh, yeah, Hoop Nightmares.
Human centipedes himself.
Hoop Nightmares, baby. I was hooping myself down the lane, and a guy liked it, and he said,
a guy liked it, all right.
Yeah, he said, I've got a libido, son. Ooh. And I said, that's not good enough. Won't you tell me your name? But he wouldn't tell me his name. I had a guess, and I was right. His name was Simon Ibison.
Simon Ibison, oh baby.
He wouldn't tell me his name.
He wouldn't tell me his name. Oh my God. The other day I was doing a handstand on top of a car. All right, all right, all right.
All right, all right.
All right, all right. I just want to, just for any listeners out there, we do know the difference between Michael J. Fox and Matthew McConaughey, all right, all
right. All right, all right. Right. All right. Neither of them would tell us their names.
But we don't know the difference between the films Back to the Future and Teen Wolf.
Teen Wolf, no way, baby. All right, all right. Right, the other day, I was doing a handstand on top of a car.
Oh, yeah.
I said, let's go, baby.
Oh, yeah, why not?
That's a good thing to say in that moment.
Because the car was stationary. You know what? It's far less impressive. So I said, slap, slap, let's go, baby. And off we went. We went down the road.
It
we
really
went
affected
down the street.
Your Uber rating, didn't it?
I've got 6 stars now. I said, let's go. I said, let's go, baby. Yeah. You know when you see the Uber that's coming down the street, the little icon, and it's spinning around and around and going crazy up and down? That means I'm on the roof.
Right.
And extra service. It went down.
And does that app tell you who the driver is, or wouldn't tell you your name?
It would never tell me the driver's name. We went down the street, we went down the lane, and it wouldn't tell me the driver's name. We even went down an alley, and I guessed that the driver must be Sarah Malley. All right, all right, all right. All right,
all right.
She wouldn't tell me her name. All right.
All right, all right. I was hanging onto a car the other day.
We've got fucking many of these to do.
This is long.
This one is going. This one's going long, baby.
This one's going the distance, baby, all the way.
Yeah.
I was hanging on to the bottom of the car the other day.
Oh, he flip reversed it.
He didn't even.
Let's go, baby.
Cape Fear.
Cape Fear, starring Michael J. Fox. All right, all right,
all right, all right, all right. All right. I was hanging out to the bottom of the car, thinking of the movies of Jim Henson.
Oh, baby.
I tried to get the person in the car to stop by shouting a name, but she wouldn't tell me what it was.
Oh, baby.
But I imagine it was Georgina Jensen.
Yeah, baby.
This car was hanging on to the back of me the other day.
Whoa!
And I was pretending
back in a sedan, baby.
I was pretending to surf right in the wavies. And my friend was there, Ross Davies. He'd tell me his name.
He'd tell me his name if he could, but he can't. Oh, baby, the other day. Let me tell you, the other day, I was doing the splits on top of two trains going in two different directions.
He wouldn't tell me his name.
And I had an expression on my face that could only be described as sullen. And I said to the train driver on the left foot, won't you tell me your name? She wouldn't, but I guessed it must have been a Rachel Cullen.
She wouldn't tell you her name.
She wouldn't tell me her name.
I was hanging on to the back of a car the other day.
Oh,
face to face with a sticker that said, how am I driving? I
I thought to myself, not too well. But I will tell you this, the sticker was written in a gorgeous font.
Oh, yeah. Oh,
and the driver, I imagine, was Peter Beaumont.
But he wouldn't tell you his name.
He wouldn't tell me his name. Or stop the car.
I got a phone call the other day. Someone.
Oh, you got a phone call the other day.
You were hanging out the back of a phone.
All right. I got the phone call the other day. Someone rang me up and told me how Clarky was driving.
Oh, baby.
I said, how do you knows that? He said, it's because my name is John Knowles. That's a fact.
Oh,
he told me his name.
He told me his name. Oh, baby. The other day, I was watching an episode of Country File.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. It was an old episode.
Yeah, it was an old reference.
It was an old reference. It was an old episode of Country File, and it was hosted by a man called John Craven.
It's pure.
But let me tell you now.
Straight down the line.
Let me tell you now. He wouldn't tell me his name. So I had to call up my friend and say, I'm watching an old episode of Country File. Who's hosting it? All right. And he said, it's John Craven. And I said, thank you, Adam Raven. I guessed his name.
You went and guessed his name.
I went and guessed my own name, my child.
I was hanging on to the back of a car the other day.
Oh, baby.
All right.
We drove past an accident.
Oh no. Rubbernecker.
Well, I wouldn't look. Because me, I ain't no rubbernecker. But I tell you who is, Rebecca.
Rebecca.
I got a phone call the other day.
All right, okay.
Someone said,
my success.
Someone said, Clark is driving so bad, he ain't driving, he being driven.
Oh, I'm hanging out the back of my own car.
I said, now, who's this? Who's rang me up to be so sassy? All right. They wouldn't tell me their name. Even though I could tell by their voice that it was Lydia Massey.
Oh, my good gracious. All right. Okay, here we go, baby. Let me tell you.
Okay.
Now. Oh, baby.
Okay.
All right. Okay. Let me tell you, the other day I was making a suet pudding.
Really?
Oh, yeah. Oh, baby. I was making a suet pudding, and I was on the back of a pickup truck on a pogo stick.
Oh,
and baby. As a consequence of the movement of the pogo stick and the pickup truck, I gotta tell you now, I got the semolina wrong.
Oh, no.
And I had to call up a friend and say, what do I do when I've got the semolina wrong? But she wouldn't tell me her name, even though I knew it was Vida Emelina Long.
Absolutely superb work. All right.
Thank you, everybody.
I was hanging on to the back of a trailer the other day.
He was hanging on to the back of a trailer the other day.
Going down the road.
The driver.
All right.
Saw me in the wing mirror. Slammed on the brakes. I went flying right into the tow bar.
Whoa. Oh, ouchie, mama.
It hit me right in the baby maker. Ooh. I was like, hey, man.
That's
what's up?
Sting.
Brian Baker.
Well, that concludes today's Patreon Neighborhood Watch roll call, all right?
All right. Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.